Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. When we left off last time, we were talking about the first part of verse 18 in the second chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis 2:18 reads, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.'" As we are going to find out, the helper God will make for man is the woman. In our series, we are now coming to the creation of the woman. But just before we leave the first part of verse 18, I want to speak to this matter of how it is not good for the man to be alone. Undoubtedly, given the overall context, when God says it is not good for man to be alone, he means this regarding man in relationship to woman in marriage. We'll certainly be talking a lot about marriage in the days ahead, but I believe the Word of God as it stands, "It is not good for the man to be alone," is generally true. Men, within the sound of my voice, it is not good that we be alone. If you'll allow me, today I want to speak primarily to men. Now, women, stay tuned. What I will say will be of interest to you, particularly if you know men. Fathers, brothers, husbands, boyfriends, sons, cousins, colleagues, men in your church. Let me tackle manhood and why it is not good that we be alone. I do this because I have been asking, what does Genesis 2 teach us today about who we are as men and women? Well, God teaches us men here something about ourselves. It is not good that we be alone. And I could go in a couple of different directions on this. One would be to speak with you men about the value of marriage. If we go down this path, we could talk about why you single men ought to be married. Or we could talk about those of us men who are married. Or we could talk about the pros and cons of marriage itself. But I think there will be enough time for this later in the series when we get into the marriage between Adam and Eve. What I want to focus on is the necessity of men to be in community with other men. It is not good for man to be alone. We need one another, brothers. To me, the greatest example of men living in community with other men in all of Scripture is the chosen band of disciples our Lord called together. I mean the 12. As you likely know, here are their names: Simon Peter, Andrew, James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and of course, Judas Iscariot. The gospel writers at the start of the New Testament, in what I think is remarkable simplicity, tell us how Jesus called some of these men. Let's pick up the story in Matthew chapter 4. I begin reading at verse 18. Matthew 4:18 reads, "Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. Going on from there, Jesus saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and Jesus called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus." So we have Jesus out for a walk by himself. He is strolling along by the sea called Galilee when he sees the fishermen. And the Lord says, "Follow me." It turns out Jesus' walk was very intentional. He was on mission. All four men follow Christ. And so to Jesus, we add Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Two sets of brothers, all fishermen. There is a little community of men coming together here. Jesus continues to walk, but now he has four others with him. And we come to John's Gospel in the first chapter at verse 43. Let me read for us John chapter 1, beginning in verse 43. Jesus purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to Jesus, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Wow, what an encounter Jesus has with two more men, Philip and Nathanael. Both men follow Jesus. I do not have time to develop this today, so I hope you will take my word for it. Nathanael is Bartholomew. Earlier I told you one of the 12 was Bartholomew. This is the same man, Nathanael, that we just read about in John 1. Jesus began walking by himself along the Sea of Galilee. Then he called Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Then he kept walking and called Philip and Nathanael, also known as Bartholomew. This is now a community of men, a band of brothers, all chosen by Christ. These seven keep on walking together for some time, and then in a compelling narrative, Jesus chooses again. This time it is Matthew, who is a tax collector. I will now go back to Matthew's Gospel and pick up the reading in chapter 9. All this takes is one verse, Matthew 9:9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed Jesus. Friends, do you see how this community is expanding? First, there is Jesus, then four more, then two more, and then a single man named Matthew. Well, to these seven disciples will be added the five others. The Bible does not describe the calling of the other five. As the true story develops, these 12 men, along with Jesus, walk and talk. They eat together and sleep out overnight near one another. The disciples will argue, fuss, complain, question, and doubt. They will defend one another and Jesus. And they do all this together, living in community with one another and with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine them together? God gave us our imaginations for a reason, and I like to employ mine to read portions of these Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read about these men spending so much time together. As I read, I imagine what that was like. Maybe you have read about their lives together following Jesus. What did you learn? What observations did you make about their community that you've applied to your friendship with other men? Or maybe you have not read about this little community of men. Can I graciously invite you to get a hold of a Bible and jump into the text reading about Jesus' chosen band? Follow them along, beginning in, say, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. This will be very insightful and encouraging to you, demonstrating how Jesus also thought it was not good for these men to be alone. I cannot speak for you, but I can speak for myself. As I read about and think about these 12 men living in community with one another, one of the primary lessons this teaches me is that when men are not alone, when we are instead together, we can be true to who we are and yet disagree. Living in community with one another does not mean we all need to be the same, to think the same, and to act the same. This is impossible. Guys, we are all different from one another, But when we come together and get to know one another, then we can even express disagreement and still move forward in genuine friendship and camaraderie. And that is something I need. I do not just want this, I need this. How about you? Reading about these 13 men together, including Jesus, always reminds me how much I yearn for such friendship with other guys who also follow Christ. I cherish my friendships with Christian men. Some of you are listening to me now. And I am confident that I would be glad to strike up new friendships with all of you listening. Hopefully, one day we could meet in person. However, I am also a realist. And I know that you may well be a man, even a Christian man, who is living without much of or any community. You are alone. Some of you have chosen to be alone. Maybe others have hurt you, and so you have resolved to keep your distance going forward. Perhaps you like being a loner. Still others of you are not alone by choice, but by circumstances outside of your control. An example would be that you are elderly and your spouse and friends have died in advance of you. This radio is like an only friend to you now. Whatever the case may be, I come back in my mind to Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." And in my opinion, this applies to us men generally. Marriage is the primary meaning, but today I have wanted us to consider a broader meaning as well. And since I am rapidly running out of time, tomorrow I'm going to come back to this. I want to share with you an experience these 12 male disciples had together. This will show you how real their relationships were. Typical men, we will find. Then I want to offer a few practical ideas on how we Christian men might come together rather than be alone. Ladies, sisters, hang in here with us, please. And all of you, join me together tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.